I'm Tony Cox, and this is News and Notes. This week in our Sports Bloggers Roundtable, we spotlight two rogue athletes in the Empire State and one Rhodes Scholar in the Sunshine State, plus our annual look at the BCS mess. We've got Chad Brown. He writes for Alpha Blog Sports, and D. Will, who writes for the blog Sports On My Mind. Hey, fellas.
How you doing, Tony?
Doing great. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. How you doing?
All right, let's start with Plaxico Burress, who's not doing so well, I would imagine. By now, football fans know that last Friday, the New York Giants wide receiver was partying at a Manhattan night spot when he accidentally shot himself in the thigh with a .40 caliber semi-automatic pistol. He was suspended without pay for the rest of the season and the playoffs, but it gets worse. He was then charged with illegal weapons possession. That could get him 3.5 to 15 years in prison. But it gets worse. The doctor who treated him at the hospital, he came in under an assumed name, did not report it to the police, and now everybody's pointing fingers at everyone. This is just a mess, Chad Brown.
Yeah, there's no other way to describe it. It is a mess. You keep reading more and more about it. Now Pierce is going to have to testify before the grand jury. We're learning last night that the Giants trainer told them where to take him. And it's just, it's mind-boggling. When someone told me about it on Saturday, I thought they were joking. I mean, he shot himself in the leg. What does that mean? No, he really shot himself in the leg. And just more details that come out, like even the people at the club were going to turn him away, but they let him in regardless. It's just mystifying. Why are you going to put yourself in the situation? You can't stop people from going out, but why are you going to put yourself in the situation, carry a gun illegally, not tell your teammates about them? It's fortunate no one else was hurt, but you're really, nobody is clean in this. And I think we've got more to come on this.
D. Will, isn't this the guy that 6 months ago signed a $35 million new contract?
It sure is. And that's the unfortunate thing, or part of the unfortunate thing for Plaxico Burress, is that he was a hero 6 months ago. And now he may never play another down in the NFL. And so it's kind of a hero to tragedy, cautionary tale and all of that stuff. So the one thing I wonder is, will we ever find out what truly was the story here? Was it just Plaxico Burress, or was Antonio Pierce involved in some way more than we think? He did try to hide the gun, after all. Was he doing that as a friend, or was he doing that because perhaps his prints were on the gun? We'll never know now.
Yeah, well, you'll have to sit in the grand jury because Pierce is going to be testifying there.
That's right.
I just cannot imagine it. Roger Goodell's got another situation where a team has got to be looked at in terms of how they handle or try to sweep things under the rug. But never mind. Never mind.
Okay.
Let's move on to a different problem that Roger Goodell has. This involves suspensions of 6 players, 4 games without pay for violating the league's anti-doping policy. Now, they each tested positive for a diuretic, which supposedly can mask steroid use, and it does other things also if you're trying to, you know, make weight, things of that sort. Some of the players from the Minnesota Vikings have already gone to a judge who has granted an injunction so that they can at least play on this coming weekend against Detroit. And some of the other players, the NFL Players Association, is coming to their defense. So, Chad Brown, how do we sort this out for us?
I'll do my best. My understanding is that all these players did not know about the illegal element, or that they were, that none of them were trying to cover up anything, that they were all trying to lose weight. And I mean it's devastating for, if you're the Minnesota Vikings, that's the heart and soul of your defense. I mean, forget about it. If with the New Orleans Saints, you lose a Deuce McAllister who is already being phased out. Another player, Grady Jackson, has an appeal and was not suspended. So it's very much up in the air with what's going to happen here. It really seems like this was incidental, that none of these players is trying to hide anything. But Goodell's going to act. Goodell can be very swift in most cases, somewhat lenient on others. But I really don't know what to make of it at this point, other than that the Williams brothers are evidently going to be on the field against Detroit this Sunday.
On Sunday. Well, you know, D. Will, it seems that the league has a very clear policy that says you are responsible for any substance that you put into your own body. Now, while they're saying that on one side of their mouths, on the other side, they have a situation, apparently in this case, I want you to speak to it, that the league or some folks within the league off front office knew that there was a potential for this substance to be included in the stuff that these guys took, but nobody passed that warning along to the players.
Yes, I find that incredibly odd, that they did have knowledge of the substance potentially being in the supplements, and not, as you said, not passing this along to the players. Now it happens that the players test dirty, and who's at fault? Oh, it's the players. Okay, and of course the NFL takes no responsibility at all, per usual. I do think it's odd. I don't know, again, if we'll ever find out how this really occurred or not, you know, unless the NFLPA does really get involved. And they actually, over time, have proven to take player sides to a point, but not want to rankle the owners and the commissioner too much at the same time. So, once again, we're in those murky waters of will we ever know the truth? As someone said today, a reporter said today, if they had managed to keep this quiet, no one would ever have known and these guys wouldn't have been suspended. So there's another element of craziness to this whole scene.
God, Roger Goodell is one thing after another that the guy has to deal with, but that's what they're paying him to be the commissioner for. So
that's
his job.
That's what he gets the big bucks for.
All right, let's talk about football on another level. The people that play on Saturday and the BCS. Almost like, you know, the BCS is almost like Christmas music when it comes to the bowl series because we're singing the same old song at the same time of year every year. And here we go again. Worthy teams being left out in a way that for some people doesn't make any sense. And I'm particularly talking about Oklahoma and Texas. Now, Texas beat Oklahoma. And even though each team has an identical 11-1 record, the BCS put Texas behind Oklahoma. Alabama, no argument there, number one. How are they going to straighten this out, Chad?
I don't know how they're going to straighten it out. All I know is that it seems like the SEC championship game between Alabama and Florida, people are already dubbing that as being the real national championship game. But Texas got robbed. There's no other way to put it. It seems like there's some pole positioning going on here because Texas beat Oklahoma, but lost to Texas Tech, who then got stomped by Oklahoma. So I don't know which head-to-head system works here. I don't think the BCS even knows. It's like they put all the names in a hat and just picked one out.
Well, wasn't Texas, D-Will, a beneficiary of this very same kind of BCS shenanigans a couple of years ago?
Yes, they were. You know, and being down here in Texas, they're making a big case for themselves and continue to, as does Texas Tech, because of course, as Chad said, they beat Texas. The problem with the BCS computer is that the computer can't see teams play, and that therein lies the problem with the computer. Texas defeated Oklahoma. And they held Oklahoma to 35 points. No team has done that since. Oklahoma's averaged 60 points a game since then. Also, the main thing about Texas is that they were 1 second away from running a four-game gauntlet of playing undefeated top 10 teams. It's so late in the season that no team ever in the history of the NCAA would have done that, would have accomplished that feat. They were 1 second away, and they got no credit for that. And that's probably the horror of all of this.
So what happens, guys, if Florida beats Alabama this weekend to the BCS thing?
We go Florida, Oklahoma, apparently, you know, which leaves out Texas and perhaps the best defense in the history of the NCAA, USC.
Well, I agree with D-Will on that, especially leaving USC out of the mix is also a head-scratcher.
Well, you know, there's a columnist here in Los Angeles who wrote in the L.A. Times today that he thought that Utah deserved to go to the BCS over USC because they're, what, undefeated?
Well, so is Boise State. So,
yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well made. Point well taken.
Point well made.
All right. Let's go back to the Big Apple, Chad Brown, where you guys always have drama. I love
yes,
New York City, but it's just drama, sports, and drama, and more sports. And this sport drama involves none other than Stephon Marbury of the New York Knicks, sort of the New York Knicks. It looks like he was ordered to stay away from his team while the organization tries to come to some kind of an agreement to get him out of town. This is only the latest episode, of course, in the Marbury drama that has just gone on and on ever since he came to the team 4 years ago. So is he on the team, not on the team? Is he in the building, not on the building? Do they like him, hate him? What do you guys want?
I think we just want a resolution to all of this. And while Stephon is no choir boy whatsoever, the Knicks had to have seen this coming. And I understand there are salary implications, there are roster implications, but find a way to get rid of him before the season begins. I know it's easy for me to say that standing on the sidelines, but having said that, I'm trying to think of a memorable moment that Stephon has had or a coach that he hasn't clashed with since he's been here. I mean, there's no denying his talent, but he's going around saying to his side the story isn't heard. I feel like I've heard this before. It's just a broken record. They had a 15-minute meeting. They decided that they're going to have to agree to disagree about. The only thing they can agree is they'll give him 21.9 million to stay in street clothes and just stay away. The Knicks are trying to rebuild. They're off to a decent start, although you have to wonder if they could have come to some agreement with Marbury one way or another, we wouldn't have all this talk maybe about just scrapping the next couple seasons and waiting for LeBron, but that's another story.
That is another story altogether. But D. Will, I guess part of the problem is Marbury's contract and who would want to pick it up and whether the Knicks would give him away the way the Grizzlies gave the Lakers Paul Gasol last year.
Right, yeah, I don't think that's happening at all. I think actually James Dolan wants to make Stephon Marbury's life as difficult as possible, his post-New York Knicks life. They did offer him a buyout, which was $3 million less than he wanted. Marbury wanted to take $1 million off his contract. The Knicks wanted $3 million off the contract. Stephon walked out of the meeting. Okay, so he self-inflated his value again. The thing I can say for Steph is that he's a great philanthropist, but unfortunately that's not helping him on the basketball court.
Well, listen, we are not going to end our sports bloggers roundtable on doping and people that don't want to play and people that shoot themselves at nightclubs. Okay,
thank
we're going
goodness.
To talk about a young man from Florida by the name of Myron Roll. He's probably the smartest athlete in college football, a sophomore. He is also a Rhodes Scholar, and he is going to forsake going into the NFL to go to Oxford, England. Now, that's a positive story, is it not, Chad?
I think it's a great story, and I think and what I really think is wonderful is how everybody in the FSU family, on the team, the coaches, the athletic department, has really rallied around him. But I think it's a great decision. I think it's a great decision. And if he decided to go the other way, I still think we would have to give him the benefit of the doubt. But this is just – it's wonderful to see a student athlete embrace the student aspect of it as well. And I wish him all the best.
You know, he has, D. Will. I've got 10 seconds for you to respond to this because I don't know if you've ever seen this in your lifetime or not. 3.75 GPA pre-med.
That's amazing. The only other Rhodes Scholar that we could talk about would have been Chad Pennington, but he went professional as far as football is concerned. Myron Roll is a role model. He is a student-athlete instead of an athlete-student. That's great to see.
Absolutely. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Enjoyed having you on.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Tony.
Chad Brown writes about sports at alphablogsports.blogspot.com. Joined us from our New York studios. And D. Will writes for the blog Sports on My Mind.